Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
This is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge sanctioned by the U.S. government.
11:55. Almost midnight. Enough time for one more story before 12.
You're gonna die up there.
All right, hey, this is Michael Joy for HorrorNews.net, and I'm on the line with the guys from the Horror Equity Fund, Marlon and Brian. How you guys doing?
Hey. Good evening, Michael. This is Marlon. Hi, Michael.
Hey, this is Brian.
Hey, how was your Thanksgiving?
I was in New York City, and it was fantastic. Got to be front row at the Macy's Day Parade, so that was exciting. Hadn't been that close to a Pikachu in many years.
And
wow,
the and the spectacle that I attended was my family getting.
Pretty
it's
cool.
Its own
pretty
brand
cool.
Of horror.
Yeah, I was gonna say which of those is more horrific, the Macy's Parade or a family gathering? I'm kind of juggling that. I'm not really sure.
You know, I don't know Marlon's family all that well, but I would guess that probably wins out. Marlon, what do you think?
This is going to be publicly broadcast, so
yeah, so we should probably move on.
I'm going to be noncommittal on this one.
All right. Well, hey, you know what? Let's jump right into it. And you guys are, or I guess have created something new, something different. Called the Horror Equity Fund. And I know, a lot of people, you know, go to Kickstarter or Indiegogo, and a lot of horror movies are successful getting funded that way. But this is a little different. What makes Horror Equity Fund what sets it apart from those Kickstarter and Indiegogo campaigns?
This is Marlon speaking. I'll speak a little bit, and then I'll surely turn it over to Brian. But Kickstarter, in particular, is a donation-based platform where people can post good causes, products, movies, libraries, etc., and ask people for donations. And in return, they can get a cap, a mug, good karma, all nice things, but not scalable, not from a business point of view. And generally speaking, there's no reward other than that perk and that good feeling or that mug, which may be sufficient for an individual project on occasion, and lower priced items. But what we've created deals with a different segment of the law, a different part of the securities law, which is equity crowdfunding, where you go to and you can invest in Horror Equity Fund, and you get to own a piece of the company itself. Now, we may give you a perk, we may give you a discount on something as a friendly pat on the back. But that's not why you come to us. You come to us to invest, to get in on the ground floor, so to speak, of an investment, where you own equity in a piece of the horror business. In effect, you become a shareholder in horror. Brian?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and one other thing just to, that sets us apart, Indiegogo and Kickstarter are those platforms. And while that is an important element of our company, it's one of several methodologies that we employ to try and help content creators, whether it's filmmakers, game creators, live events, kind of profit from their passion. We take some of the traditional fundraising methods of Hollywood by reaching out to third-party investors, whether it be debt or debt equity or equity investments. And then we also have partners that help with investments. And then the second way is this, if you can imagine it being a tripod, the second way is the ability to go to one of these, our own SEC-compliant platform, which has equity crowdfunding, not reward-based. And then the final way is once we're fully funded, we'll have money that we will use to support projects ourselves.
Michael, if I may also, something that differentiates us totally from any of these platforms, and I support, obviously, what Brian said totally, Horror Equity Fund actually helps the content creator shape and manifest their vision so that it becomes commercially viable and out there making money. While we're always after mitigating the risk for an investor, whether it be ourselves, a third party, or somebody coming in investing in that particular project, mainly what we're doing also is offering resources, access to resources that otherwise content creators may not be aware of, may not have the efficiencies of scale to gain access to them, and may not know how to handle them. So we come in and stand alongside the content creator. Kickstarter, Indiegogo on their reward-based side doesn't even begin to do that.
No, not at all. I mean, they, you know, don't even know who they have in their, you know. I mean, my next question was basically, why is Horror Equity Fund a better option? And I guess that's kind of self-explanatory after listening to you explain it. Just the fact that, you're not just getting a perk, you're getting a piece of the pie, a piece of the company, so to speak.
You're getting a piece of the pie, but that's when you invest in us. But the reason we're also a better option is that we stand alongside you, like I said. We will bring resources, connections, our lists of consultants that are connected to the company, our lists of strategic alliances that we have makes everything easier for a content creator to gain access to. So we like to say that we're sort of an app. We provide access, participation, and profits. And although it's spelled app, that's what we sort of provide.
Well, I mean, what I like about it is, basically what you're offering is, and this is, to the content creator and the investor, a more personal experience where you don't get any kind of personal experience from Indiegogo or Kickstarter. It's just a platform. From what I'm understanding from you guys, I mean,
Michael, again, I'm going to jump in. We're not a quote platform. What we are is our equity fund is an entertainment company that's designed to accelerate to market and assist in the funding of horror-centric projects. So we're a company, and as Brian rightly pointed out, one of the tools that we use to build the company and down the line build individual projects may be equity crowdfunding in some fashion, but we do far more than that. So it's almost an unfair comparison to give us to a Kickstarter or that portion of Indiegogo or a GoFundMe or something like that. That's not what we're not in that business.
Well, I know.
We
I'm
touched
just,
that.
No, I completely get that. But I'm just like someone who doesn't know what you're about or, you know, what the company is. I mean, everyone knows what Kickstarter is. Everyone knows what Indiegogo is. So I'm just, you know, not the closest comparison, but, you know, what people are familiar with. I'm just trying to, like, you know.
Oh no, you're absolutely right. Michael, we get this all the time. And by the way, it was a long time until people really did understand what Kickstarter is about. But it's a platform. It's very nice. It's reward-based. But, you know, you get a cap. You get a T-shirt. You get some, you may get your project. And that's as a donation, as a reward. And, you know, a person may get to realize the amount of money that they need. We utilize equity crowdfunding, which is a different section of the law, although related, as one of the tools in our toolbox to create and bring to market projects.
All right. So when did you guys come up with this? And I guess when and why do you decide to venture into this business?
Well, I'm gonna speak again because it was originally my idea, but
couldn't have done this without
Brian. I years ago formed a company on behalf of Bandai Entertainment called Anime Village. It's a virtual company, and I helped bring Japanese animation into the country. This is many years ago, and at that time when I built it for Bandai, I realized that technology of some sort, whether that be, you know, hard technology or soft in the case of words or laws, can be served, can easily be used to serve underserved communities of underserved people, such as, in that case, fans of anime. Years later, when the Jobs Act first was being thought of and being developed, I realized that these laws under the security will allow a great amount of otherwise underserved people, whether that be content creators or potential investors, to get into the market. Generally, it was reserved for the uber rich or accredited investors or people of high net worth individuals. But the new laws would allow a different access. So I wanted to bring that democratization of investment and capital to a large community of passionate fans. And you can't find a larger or more passionate group than horror fans. So I thought of the idea and developed it with Brian.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I mean, you know, you're certainly correct about that. I can't think of another group of genre fans that are more passionate and dedicated than, you know, those you know, who love horror. I'm thinking sports. I'm thinking, you know, all over the realm of entertainment. There's something unique and special about horror fans. And, you know, it holds true. You know, I've gone to, like, a lot of conventions, you know, a lot of horror events. And, you know, it's kind of like an extended family. And I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's really a cool thing. So,
And horror has the benefit from a business point of view, and this is why it was specifically selected. Although fans may suspect it, we can tell you that horror as a genre is the historically the highest return on investment ROI in entertainment, and so it's a really worthy opportunity for people to not only bring their projects and try to develop them within this genre, but to do it through us and have fans potentially invest in the company so that they can own a piece of horror. And in fact, one of our catchphrases is, if you love horror, own it. And Horror Equity Fund allows you that opportunity to own it.
Okay. So let's just pretend for a moment that I have money. And this, trust me, this, we're pretending this. So let's just say I
have
some money.
We'll go with you.
Which I don't. But if I did. And I wanted to, you know, reach out to you guys. And, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, investing. I'm just curious. How would you sell me on the benefits of your company?
You want to join in on this, Brian, or
yeah,
should I just take a start?
Let me preface one thing, though.
Michael, you have to understand, we're in a stage that of our company that we are raising money on a platform, and Brian will talk about that. But we are limited as to what we can say about certain things. We will point you in the right direction. We'll hint you at the right direction. We will tell you various things, but we can't say everything that we can because we're restricted by the SEC. That being said, there's a lot that we can say. So, Brian, go ahead.
Yeah. So, as an investor, here's one of the things I'd like you to think about. You know, you mentioned Kickstarter, Indiegogo. And when you take a look at, for instance, you know, somebody like Zach Braff, who comes to, and I'm not picking on Zach, I'm a big fan, but when he comes to, a crowdfunding site to raise money for his film, and he gives away T-shirts and he gives away a visit to the set, and those people get those items and they get that, you know, that good feeling that they supported their hero. When he goes off and should his film, and I don't think it did, but should his film make $100 million, they get nothing. When you invest in our company, in Horror Equity Fund, in addition to the good karma that you get from supporting an industry that you love, in this case horror, you also get the benefit of being a participant in any profits. So there's historically, as we just said, horror entertainment has the highest ROI in the entertainment industry. And you can look at the last 7 years, every film that topped the percentage of ROI was in the horror genre, every single one in the last 7 years. And that's not a coincidence. That has to do with the fact that it is a lower entry level in terms of budget. So there's lower risk initially, and then there's a huge upside. So you see films like Paranormal Activity that cost $15,000 to make but return almost $200 million worldwide, or you see Get Out, which was a $5 million film coming back with over $300 million worldwide. And yet it goes on and on and on, whether it's Insidious or The Conjuring, and even the films that don't do so well in terms of ratings and reviews will still historically do well. If you look at the last Paranormal Activity film, I don't know which one it was in the series number wise, but came out in 2015. It was a film that was made higher budget, was made for $10 million. It did not do hugely well domestically. I think it made $18 million or something thereabouts, but it made almost $80 million worldwide. So it basically returned 10 times the budget. The budget was $8 million, I think. So, there's historically a real upside to this segment of the genre. So there's always going to be, a risk versus reward analysis that any investor does. But the people that are passionate about horror, previous to this, the guy sitting in his basement who is a huge fan of, the Freddy Krueger movies or wanted to participate, they didn't hear about, nor did they know about, nor did they have the access to invest in projects or in companies that develop projects. And now they can. And this is now the first time that these people that have been sitting on the sidelines get to play with the big boys and get to reap the benefits that the people that had that were high net worth individuals used to have all the time.
Okay.
That be accurate, Marla?
That sounds good to me.
I don't know. Did we lose Marla? I think we did. All right, Michael. See you.
Did we? Okay. Hang on. Let me just check and see if I'm getting any calls in.
Okay.
But that sounds fantastic, and you did explain it very well. Hold on.
And let me just kind of, right, since we're waiting for Marlon, let me run into
I think he's back on.
Yep, I'm
Are
here.
You back on, Marlon? Okay.
Yep,
I was just going to follow up with one other element, and that is there are two different types of investments that would be involved with Horror Equity Fund. That is the project investment, where we have an individual project that someone supports, and then there's the company. And when you invest in the company, you're diversified across every project that we're involved with, and those projects are not just film or television, but they're film, television, augmented reality, virtual reality, publishing, anything that touches the world of horror, and also will help support a community that we are gathering together. So all of that, which will have its own educational corner and its own discounts for members, et cetera. So all of that is going to go into the mix and help provide return on investment for those people who choose to invest.
You hear me now, gentlemen?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. I will add I did get cut off. I had to call in on another phone. Brian was spot on. I will say that what we're doing now is we're not open to the general public, for everybody, for individual projects. That's governed by certain laws. Right now, what we're doing is we are raising money from the general public, from everyone, through a platform. And that it goes specifically to what Brian was talking about. Investing in Horror Equity Fund now gets all these people participation in all of our projects, cross-collateralized and going through the mitigation of risk that we put every project through. So it's actually a particularly good time for the general public to come into the Horror Equity Fund, because you're not betting on one pony. You're betting on the field. And that's generally, if you go to a racetrack and you're trying to bet across the board, obviously something's going to come in some fashion, or at least your odds are better. No guarantees. It's still a risk. It's still an investment. I've now spoken according to SEC rules, but it's a better bet, I might say, to bet across the field than to bet on one particular film or project or book or game.
Okay, so if I am the general public, I guess my next question would be, and I'll ask this again at the end of the interview, but where would I go to go ahead and make an investment?
Well, we are being hosted right now, our campaign, on a platform called Start Engine, and you can go to startengine.com and look for Horror Equity Fund, or you can go directly to our pages by going to www.startengine.com/horror-equity-fund, and you'll go right to it. And we're actually pretty prideful insofar as we put a lot of detail and a lot of care into putting in a lot of information onto those pages. So we encourage people to go there, www.startengine.com/horror-equity-fund, and read carefully and look at the videos that we have there, the examples, the PowerPoints, the endorsements that we have from talents within the industry. Look at our consultants, look at our strategic partners, and then read some of the updates at the bottom, where there's more information listed, because people ask questions, and we encourage people to ask questions, and we'll answer them.
Yeah.
Well,
and you can
if
you would like, you can also, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but you can also go to our website at www.horrorequityfund.com. And there is an Invest Now button you can push on, And if you sign up on the website, we do updates, we do newsletters. There's information that goes out pretty regularly. So if you'd like to do that, you can do so as well. But that's another way if for some reason you forget, go to Horror Equity Fund, push the Invest Now button, and that'll take you to Start Engine as well.
Okay. That's great, and I'm so glad that you guys clarified one of my main questions that you know I wanted to know, and that was as far as investing in whether it was going to be the entire company or if you could invest in an individual project. And you said that basically both. But I mean, I guess down the line would be the individual project part of it. If someone chose to do that.
From the general public, yes.
Yeah, here's the public is divided by, not by us, but by the law, into the general public and what's called accredited investors. And it's based on worth of income, of property, et cetera. Right now, we're offering shares to everybody of the company itself, and you get a piece of the company depending on how many shares you buy. You could buy, they're a dollar a share, minimum investment is $100. And with that, you get certain perks as well. And then it goes all the way from 100 to 250 to 500, 1,000, 5,000 more, et cetera. It goes up. It's all listed, all illustrated, really cool stuff. Everybody gets certain perks that we give everybody. We have, for instance, a 35% off coupon that any investor gets for a zombie gnome of their choice. And they're really cool and lots of fun. We all are also offering other things that are all listed there. Individual films right now are the purview of accredited investors, and we're not doing individual for it. Now, if someone is an accredited investor and they contact us and we find that they can fit into an individual project, great, and we'll work on that. But that wouldn't be through Start Engine. That's a different type of an investment, and there's different rules. By the way, even though that sounds like it's sort of a hampering device in some fashion and a restriction, it actually is pretty good because you know that you have the SEC looking over our shoulders, making sure that we're doing things the right way. Intrinsic in everything that we do, and we form the company, and maybe I should have started at the beginning, are three watchwords that we live by: honesty, transparency, and integrity. And we want to make sure that the common stereotypic perception of, you know, strange Hollywood reporting and Hollywood accounting, that doesn't take place with us. We really try to be as open and honest and full of integrity as we possibly can be on each project.
Definitely. No, I mean, that's great. And I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, the people that are investing and then the people that are, you know, creating the content and you guys. I mean, we're all in it together as horror fans. So, which I guess kind of brings me to, I mean, the nuts and bolts. I love asking this question to everyone I interview. And it's the most standard question there possibly could be. But what's your favorite horror movie? What's your favorite?
My favorite horror movie?
Yeah.
Boy.
Oh,
you know, there are a lot. You know, I was a huge fan of An American Werewolf in London. The humor in that was spectacular. I enjoy. I thought Alien, the original Alien, was a sensational film. You know, I love The Exorcist. I was shocked to find that it didn't hold up when my kids watched it with me. But I really love the film. You know, I guess for me, Alien is probably one of the best pure horror / sci-fi films out there. It had just the right elements of you know, that thing lurking around the corner, and the acting was terrific, and it was well directed. And so I think I would have to lean towards alien. Marlon?
Yeah, I'm gonna cheat. I'm going to bring up two things that I like. I can't disagree with anything you just said, Brian, and it's like picking amongst children. There's so many different ones. Unfortunately for my waistline, it's like, what's my favorite food? It's not an easy thing to choose. But I'm going to talk about two things. I'm going to talk about there's a film called House at the End of Time. And the director is Alejandro Hidalgo. It's a Venezuelan film that not many people know about, unless you're in Venezuela, because it became the highest grossing movie of all time there. And it's a very dark, eerie, almost haunting type of film. But there's a real heart that's revealed in it. And there's a really cool twist ending. I always like that in films when there's something that I just, and it's a terrific film. I recommend it to a lot of different people. But it's a ghost story, and I think it's worth everyone looking out for. The other cheat I'm going to do is something that's a little unexpected, and it's very personal. A lot of people might have seen reruns of the old George Reeves Superman series. Well, that series was launched by them taking a Superman movie starring George Reeves called Superman and the Mole Men, about little creatures from the center of the earth that come up. And although it's not a horror movie per se, there was a scene in it where these little creatures, and they happen to be radioactive, were peering in through a cottage window at this innocent child playing with a ball in his playroom. And for years I had nightmares about these little creatures looking outside my window and turning that ball radioactive. And in this case, I won't spoil it, but there was no horror per se, but it was just a horrible scene. It was a terrible feeling. And I think that feeling is something that I relish about the unseen and someone peeking in and spying on you. And so that's a little bit of a cheat, but it's fun. And you know, they made it into a two-part, the only two-part Superman for the TV series when they launched the TV series a lot of years ago. So that's my, but I can't disagree with, my goodness, when I once saw The Exorcist. My God, it was horrible. And Brian's absolutely right. I don't think it holds up very well. And Michael, what's yours?
There's really no wrong answer. I mean, you know, because it's everyone's personal preference.
Talk about
so,
a cheat.
I mean, but no. I mean, as far as me, my answer probably changes, sporadically. But some of the ones that I just keep going back to, The Shining, is a fantastic movie, it always, as much as I've seen it and as much as I watch it, it's one of those movies that just sucks me in every time. Edge of your seat, that kind of thing. Large majority of horror fans, and I'm right along with them, loves John Carpenter's Halloween. I've been along that ride for each and every movie, throughout, the series. That's Michael Myers, and whatever form or whoever directed it, I've been right there. So, that's always been a favorite of mine. Nothing holds up to the original, of course, but The Shining, Halloween, they're two good
Dean
ones.
Cundey, the Lifetime Achievement Award winning cinematographer, is one of our consultants, and he was instrumental in some of the John Carpenter films. And we've had the pleasure of meeting with him and talking with movies with him, and it's fun. And by the way, while we're talking about this, a shout out to the monster movies of yesteryear. the original Frankenstein and the werewolves, and when I was a kid watching them in black and white, and or at least my television was black and white, the reruns and the old films, they scared the bejeebies out of me. And they're a different kind of a scary movie, different kind of a horror movie, but you know, monster movies are fun.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when it comes right down to it, I mean, if you're, you know, talking about, you know, the monster movies of yesteryear, you know, I think the one movie that probably got me into monster movies to begin with might just have been Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
right.
And, you know, you had, you know, they were all in there. And that could possibly be my earliest memory, and it could be the whole reason why I'm talking to you right now.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
when I was a kid, we had every Saturday night, and they had a double feature called Weird, and they would have, you know, they had the spooky guy with the voice talking about the films that were coming up, and it would be, you know, Attack of the 50-Foot Woman and Them and, you know, Frankenstein meets the Wolfman and Dracula and all the classic horrors. And I grew up on that, and it was something that, you know, I would, you know, pretend to be asleep on the couch and stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning watching while my parents were saying, get to bed. And that's always stayed with me. And those movies are cathartic.
And speaking of it, it's a perfect word, Brian. Because I was thinking of what makes horror movies so cool in general, and in general, I could say for myself, it's the catharsis that one has. It's the terror, the horror, and then the relief, whether it be in the back of your mind or ultimately the actual release that you know you're getting out of the theater. Mm-hmm. On television, when I was a kid back in New York, there was John Zacherle, who had his theater, and he's now passed, but he was the host I think it was WPIX, I'm not sure, but back in New York, he was a host, and he was sort of a Dracula-like character, lived in the subterranean underground of New York, and he was, you know, supposedly dastardly and scary, but he was funny. And yet he would be introducing these scary films. So you saw Them, or you saw The Thing, or you saw whatever the case may be. But he provided the relief in between the horror scenes, and it jerked you back and forth and back to forth. And my God, I loved it. And of course, back in New York, there was also Chiller Theater with that hand coming out of the ground that older visitors might remember. That's the stuff that started me off on this.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, Saturday afternoons, there was always a creature double feature. You know, I'm in New Jersey, so I was watching the Philadelphia market. We had Dr. Shock. You know, basically, I think every major city, you know, across the U.S. back in the 70s, early 80s at least, you know, had some kind of horror host, you know, spinning, you know, Hammer films or, you know, whatever. So, I mean, it was just a good time to be invested in horror and, you know,
we like that word, Michael. We like that word, invested in horror. We like that.
And, you know, speaking about invested in horror. So, you know, we talked about some of these great old films and, you know, what makes them good. But I mean, you know, now we're thinking about these new films because, you know, these new ones, and there's a lot of great directors and there's a lot of great new films out there. But I mean, these are the ones that you guys are really going to be involved with, you know, people wanting to, you know, to get their content seen and, you know, hopefully, you know, make a couple bucks, you know, as well. So for someone to be involved on that end of it with you guys, is there like a certain criteria that you look at, or like what kind of horror projects do you take in? What do you look at when
you know, when you're looking at that type of thing.
Let me jump in on this.
Yes, please. I was gonna hand it over to you.
First of all, just a little bit of my background. I, you know, started as a screenwriter, producer, and have continued in that vein. And for me, I've been teaching screenwriting for a long, long time at different universities. And for us, and for me, the line of defense in terms of returning an investment for that are putting their hard-earned cash up is making sure that the core, the underlying intellectual property, the material is solid. And we put together a proprietary system of reviewing and evaluating projects for two things. One is the quality of the work itself, and two is the potential profitability, so that we look at it and say, not only is this something that is producible, but is it something that is potentially profitable? Because what we don't want to have is we don't want to have something that is a wonderful, fantastic script, but that we don't feel like we can make any money with, or that we can't return money to our investors. So that's the first thing. In terms of what we look for and what we don't look for, the one thing that we're not particularly interested in is we don't want to get involved in what we call GORN or torture porn. We're not interested in misogyny where, you know, it's simply
right.
tearing up people without any sense of justice or without any real purpose or you know, any kind of logic to it. We like to see that there is ultimately some sense of redemption in the story, in some way, and some, you know, some core being of the characters. So that's very important to us. You know, slasher is okay in some moderation. We're not just into, you know, let's see how many different ways we can cut people up and torture them. That just isn't our thing. So first and foremost is material, a solid script, well told. And it doesn't matter what subgenre that is. It really doesn't. It could be, you know, it can be horror thriller. It can be comedy. It could be zombie. It could be virtually anything. If it's extremely well told and we feel like the market has a place for it. And I bring that up because, and Marla and I have discussed this quite a bit, that if we're being told by the universe that, hey, there's a glut of just arbitrarily vampire films, you know, we've got, you know, vampires coming out of our ears, let's not do any more vampire films, and we get a great vampire film, it has to be extremely special in order to get our attention and go, okay, nobody's looking for vampire films, we think we can do this. And one of the ways that becomes elevated above the crowd is with the package. So a great script with a great package is going to be more interesting to us than just a great script by itself. And
sure.
That means package by package, I mean, you know, are there attachments? Are there actors attached? Is there a great director attached? You know, do you have a terrific DP? You know, who's involved and what can they bring to the table? So those are all things we consider.
We'll look at a project, and after it gets past a certain level of quality, and we'll go back and forth if something's interesting to us. And we'll also take a look, and we'll take a step back and look at the marketing possibilities of that film. If there's an interesting marketing hook that we can develop or think that can be developed on it, then that adds to the interest and the attractiveness of the package for us. Because again, I need to tell the fans out there that this is, you just take a beat when I say this. Our allegiance is to the investors, wherever that money's coming, that allows the content creator to manifest their vision and put it into the marketplace. Well, they're not doing it, you know, just to have it in the marketplace. They want to be able to make some money, get some money back, bring some profits in, and allows you to make the next project and the next project. So if we have a marketing hook that we believe will elevate the attractiveness of a project in the commercial market, that's a good thing. And that's what we bring to the table also, because we use our collective imaginations to look for those hooks. We're working with pictures now and with some projects now that have some interesting hooks to them. And it allows us to say, well, you know, something, the script needs some more work, but
let's put that work into it, because this has that hook or that attractiveness. It's all part of the package. One last thing I'll say, we are basically a budget agnostic, meaning that if a lot of people don't know how to budget films, we do that work also. But if someone does come in with a budget, we can look through it. We can find out efficiencies. We can look for tax credits. We can look incentives, et cetera. So as long as it's – if we think the work, the budget merits what's going to be up on the screen, then it's worth it. And that's why we've allied ourselves with some special effects houses of Oscar caliber that come in and do bids for us and do bids for the projects and allow us to find out what really we can get this picture made for.
Okay. Now, I want to bring something up that you had mentioned earlier, just to clarify. Now, you guys aren't just looking at movies. You mentioned also could be possible TV shows and other projects.
Of course, yeah.
Right. We have a couple of projects that we're working with now that are augmented reality AR projects and a VR project that we're looking at. And we're working with our consultants, getting proposals and seeing how that would play out in the marketplace. We have allied ourselves with a publishing company that does graphic novels. I used to own a graphic novels company, not in the horror world, so I know a little bit about that area. But we have a publishing company that does horror, and they're at the ready for the right kind of a project. And we have, well, Brian, you know the other people, you join in also.
Yeah, in terms of our partners you're talking about?
Yeah, well, different types of projects that we look into,
yeah,
like TV.
Virtual reality, augmented reality, television, publishing, virtually, again, anything that touches the world of horror. So, and again, from our perspective, we look at it from two different ways. We look at it from, is this something that is going to increase the bottom line for our investors? Is it going to help them get a return? And second of all, is there something in that project by itself that is going to help kind of elevate the overall gestalt of any given project? So, for instance, we can look at an AR or VR game and say, we feel like this will be a good film. Or we can look at a film and say, this would make a great VR, AR game. So both of those are directions that go and flow both ways. We've looked at live events, escape room type events, mazes, haunted hotel entertainment. So basically there's virtually no arena that we can't visit if it touches the world of horror.
What we're trying to do, Michael, is we're trying to, and I alluded to this at the top of the conversation, we're trying to centralize at least a bit of the horror industry. It's a huge industry and has many facets. And if we can centralize some of the resources, some of the talent, some of the abilities of various people to congregate, get together, exchange ideas, and build projects and get them out there in a commercially viable fashion, there is plenty of money to be made by everybody. And that's why we've built a very flexible business model for the company itself. And that's why we believe that it's a smart investment for horror fans to get involved with, because you'll be involved in every aspect of seeing what we're doing and how we're going about it. And hopefully, as Brian said earlier, profiting from your passion. Our consultants are the experts. Our strategic partners are the experts. To a certain extent, we are the experts. So we're not looking to the fans for how to do something, but we are looking for their support, and we're looking for their word of mouth, and we're looking for them to invest in the company and help build us and bring us to the abilities that we believe this centralization of horror will bring to the industry.
So, I mean, you know, there you have it. I mean, you know, basically, you know, potential investors listening right now, you know, you're not just investing in movies, but, I mean, potentially horror across the board. I mean, really, these guys, I mean, if it's horror-related, nothing's off the table. It could be a possibility. So, you know, books, games, TV shows, movies, what have you. It sounds like a good deal to me. I don't know if you can answer this question, but, I mean, how many projects do you have right now? Is that something you can answer?
Brian, you can handle it. Yeah.
Yeah, we have two that have come out. Starleaf was out, the first project that we got involved with was an ultra-low-budget project. The second one was called Z-Burbs. Z-Burbs was just released in the last couple of weeks, and direct-to-video and streaming services. We have two that are currently in development and are in the process of being funded. And then we have probably another 8 or 9 that we are a part of, that we brought in-house. So we're around a dozen projects that we are officially involved in, and then we have another probably 7 or 8 that we are kind of circling around. But, you know, we're a fairly new company. We're a fairly small company. So we have to be extremely picky right now, particularly because we look at the bottom line for, is it something that can make money for the investor? And that makes it extremely, you know, we're extremely cautious and extremely picky in what we take on.
And we get projects on a literally on a daily basis. And even though we haven't fully opened our doors and soliciting the projects, we get them one way or the other because we've been around, we have connections, our strategic partners are there, they bring projects to us, our consultants do. And we're very careful, and we're not interested necessarily in investing 100% of money or getting 100% of the money on every project. We want to get to a point where we're participating in numerous projects, all to the bottom line of the investor. We will cherry-pick projects. We've picked one out already that we want to fund in its entirety, and we think that it will be a terrific little film and a nice VR, AR game that can make a splash. But that's what we're doing. We're taking our, you know, if not baby steps, then, you know, maybe toddler steps and walking along. And we're inviting the public to come in and fans and you know, be kept abreast of what's going on and join when we build it, the Federation of Horror, and listen to, you know, horror news, and you'll be amongst the first to know, if not the first to know, everything that we're doing that's allowed to be published. I think this could be a lot of fun for a lot of people. And down the road, our intent is to make good product for good money to the benefit of all.
You mentioned the Federation of Horror. Could you speak on that for a moment?
Well, Federation of Horror will be and sort of an aggregation website. It will be a place where resources will be demonstrated, where advertisements will be, where the public can chat, where other websites and other bloggers will be invited to come in and be part of it. There'll be different levels of membership. Information about the horror industry. We're working with various partners now to construct it. There'll be a crowdsourcing aspect to it, where people will be able to put up ideas and be voted on as to what should be made into a film or into a TV show or a web series. And there'll be ways of there'll be contests, things of that nature. And we're talking, Michael, you should know this, we're talking to certain people about participating in the Federation of Horror alongside us. And I'm chuckling because for the fans out there, hopefully things will go well with horrornews.net, and we'll all be part of the same family, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super excited to have started working with you guys, and you know, recently, you know, if you haven't noticed yet, you know, horrornews.net had a quiz up on our website and in our social media, and it was put out by you guys, a cute little quiz, basically about like which horror monster are you, and it was like Frankenstein and you know, like old school monsters like we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to Brian, because Brian designed that, and we got a lot of nice positive feedback on that, and that was one of Brian's brainchilds.
Well, the more I
and
talk
more
to you guys, the more I learn about Horror Equity Fund and Federation of Horror, and you know what you guys do, and I'm just getting excited more and more that I hear about it. So, you know, I think it's going to be a good thing. I think it's going to be a really big thing. And you know, what I want to do is, you know, definitely I want to get you guys, you know, I want to push people who are kind of interested in investing in the horror genre, you know, try to urge them to go over to you guys.
That would be great. When people go, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I really do want to give a shout out here to something. When people go to our website and/or to startengine.com/horror-equity-fund, check out who we're associated with. And what we haven't mentioned is some of the people who are working with us, like Tony Tapone, who is a long-standing member in high regard in the horror community. He's our senior vice president. We're very proud to have him on board. We have other people associated with us as well, and their bios and their pictures are up there, and it's worth the time, people looking into who we are and what we are and what we stand for. Sorry about that, Michael. I just wanted to make sure that Tony got his proper due.
Absolutely. And deservedly so.
Well, you know what? I want one last question, and just basically – I know you guys are new. You guys are just starting out. 5 years from now, where do you see Horror Equity Fund? Where do you see you taking this company?
Well, 5 years from now, if everything worked the right way, our financial projections indicate that there'll be a lot of money to be made and distributed. We believe that 5 years from now we'll be a multifaceted company, producing directly, participating in many more projects, operating a thriving ecosystem called the Federation of Horror, and being a place where horror fans, investors, and content creators can meet, mix, and mingle.
I think that you'll see that you know, 5 years from now, Horror Equity Fund will also become its own distribution platform, that will have a streaming service, that will have a distribution entity that helps kind of form the basis for getting projects out into the community. I think we'll also see that we've taken the idea of the horror fan base and taken that template and taken it to other genres, and so that it's not, because this is repeatable. So if you look at the fan base in horror, then you find, well, not only can you do it in horror, but you can then do it in family films, you can do it in family entertainment, etc. So. That's one of the places I think we're going, and five years down the road is where I think we'll start to see that synergy coming to fruition.
And going back to what Brian just said about distribution, those seeds have already been planted as far as being able to distribute either directly or through a close strategic partner. Those partners are there already. They know where we're going. The distribution landscape is changing radically, almost on a weekly basis, monthly basis, and we're going to be in step with all of that. So maybe the better question is where you're going to be within 5 years, and all those changes are going to be taking place.
No doubt. I mean, tomorrow, technology is going to be different than it is today. So, I have no idea what's going to be in 5 years, but I mean, it keeps changing. I mean, look at, how people view movies now, a lot of people watch them on their smartphones. I mean, I can't watch a movie that small. I'm sorry. But, hey, you know what? To each your own, you know?
There's a reason why horror films also maybe in the, quote, olden days more than now. But one of the other names for horror films are cuddle films. Cuddle films are, where you go on dates and stuff. And there's a cathartic feeling when you go into a movie theater. And so when we do some of our budgets on films, we on a regular basis, on many of the films, we will budget into the film a platform release, knowing that we want to have at least, and there's a multitude of reasons for that, and it's probably too complicated to go into now, but one of the reasons is we want the public to have the ability, at least in a limited way, to go out to a theater and to see it in a group, as opposed to seeing it on an iPad or on a computer screen, or, and I'm with you, Michael, God forbid, on a smartphone. I don't want to do that. That's not my way of doing it.
Films are still a communal event, and people want to, particularly with horror and comedy, strangely enough, I think people want that feeling of being scared together and surviving together and then laughing together more than any other emotion, so that the drama or the action, we can watch that in our living room and not miss the community of having that communal jump scare that we all have experienced in the theaters.
Yeah, and it's always fun. Well, maybe not always fun to hear people yelling.
Sometimes.
Don't look behind you now, or look behind you. Some people like that. Some people don't. But it's part of the group experience. It's part of the community. It's part of what you mentioned before, Michael. It's part of the family.
Yeah, definitely. There's all different ways to watch movies, and like I mentioned, the cell phone thing, it's not my thing. But I mean, if I'm traveling someplace, and I'm with a large group of people, and I was talking to this one guy, and he had to commute like 2 hours to work. So what he did was basically he watched movies on his phone during his commute. So I mean, that is a thing for some people.
He wasn't driving, was he? He wasn't driving.
He had a Tesla, sure, and it was driving itself.
That's what self-driving cars are going to be good for. You can catch up on your horror movies.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, my point is technology is moving, and is it going to be a place for everything? Whether you're going to be watching the movie on your phone, or if it's going to be a group event at a theater, like we know it should be.
I was on a plane the other day, a couple of weeks ago, and it struck me, and I don't know why, it was an evening flight. And so it was a little bit dark. They darkened the cabin, and you heard crying. These were all people. You saw the light reflecting on their faces, so they were watching films on iPads and various other devices. And you heard a little sobbing, crying over there. You heard a couple of people laughing and chuckling over there. And then every once in a while, you hear because clearly they were watching a horror film of some sort. So it was this wonderful communal thing going on with all these different people feeding off the energy of other people in one enclosed space. It was a very cool moment. And that's great. I think it's great.
Definitely. Well, you know, let this not be the last time we speak. You know, I want to talk to you
Absolutely.
Guys again in the near future and find out how you're progressing and, you know, go from there.
Well, Great. Thank you very much, Michael. I have to be, you know, unashamed and tell the listeners that this is not an unlimited time. We have a limited time on Start Engine to do what we're doing. So we urge people to go there. We urge, we request, we implore, and we ask politely for people to go to startengine.com and look for Horror Equity Fund there and read about it, ask us questions, and hopefully invest and join the party.
Yeah, okay. And you can also go directly to it by going to www.startengine.com/horror-equity-fund.
And of course, as Brian said earlier, or horrorequityfund.com and click on the invest button, you'll be brought to Start Engine and you can learn all you want. And of course, there's lots of information on our website itself.
Yeah. And there's also a contact, you can contact us there directly and we do answer emails that come to us through that.
All right. Fantastic. And I'll put those links up as well. So people have easy access to it. Yeah, again, thanks for, you know, calling in and talking to me and enlightening everyone about Horror Equity Fund and what it's all about. You know, let's look forward to the future.
Well,
great.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you,
appreciate
Michael.
It. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Red Rock. Red Rock! Red Rock! Red Rock! Red Rock! Red Rock! Red Rock!
Danny, what's the matter, hon?
Red Rock!
You having a bad dream? Danny?
All right, we were just talking to the guys over at Horror Equity Fund. Fantastic interview. I just want to let you guys know that next week we're going to have Mark and Chris from Cryptic Pictures joining us talking about film distribution and much, much more, including their movie, Mortal Remains. So next week, next Tuesday, stay tuned for that. It's going to be a good one. Right now, let's do our little station break and see who we're sponsored by this week. So stand by. And 3, 2, 1, blast off.
I'm Black Man, baby man's eyes, one stereotype at a time. To the Black Mother.
To the corner of Martin Luther King Street and Malcolm X Boulevard, pronto.
Will Black Man make it to the crime on time? Or will he be on CPT? Stay tuned at ChrisFraleyPresents.com.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes' native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromhomes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
A scientist named Frankenstein made a monster by sewing together parts of old dead bodies.
You have to read that stuff.
Wait a minute. Frankenstein gave the monster eternal life by shooting it full of electricity. Some people claim it is not dead even now.
Uh-huh.
Just dormant. Now, who'd be silly enough to believe that?
Who would be silly enough to believe that? Me.
All right, fans, you've been listening to Horror News Confidential. I appreciate you guys listening in and looking forward to next week's show. Like I said, we've got the guys from Cryptic Pictures dropping by. All right, well, that's all for now. So, all right, see you guys next week.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Farewell and adieu to you fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu, you ladies of Spain. For we've received orders for to sail back to Boston. And so nevermore shall we see you again.